Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We will have our final edition of the season of Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 9:30. So a battle for second place will ensue coming up here in 30 minutes, the loser of which is responsible for washing Michelle Knezovic's car because she is so far out and ahead of us in the competition that there's literally no way to catch her at this point. So, Joe Rexroad, the showdown begins in 30 minutes. Maybe ends is the more accurate way to put it.
Yeah, this is big. A one-point lead for me still. We haven't figured out what happens in the case of a tie. I guess we could. I guess we can collaborate on the car washing.
Yeah, I guess so. We're going to try to avoid a tie, though.
It'll be like Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta.
How about one of you can fix my car because I still don't have a mirror?
We have to bring in Mr. Stanley on this one.
Well, I can promise you that you do not want Robbie or Rex Road fixing your car. I can promise you don't want that to happen. Just for your safety.
But especially not Rex Road.
Rexy, not a handyman. Oh. Robbie, we know you're building those cabinets, but... I guess I'll just have to bring it to the shop. Still avoiding that.
I'll take my chances on cabinets and countertops before motorized vehicles.
Yeah, I mean you're handy. I mean I invited Katie, by the way, on today. Apparently I invited her on today to tell her story about meeting Jason Bateman this week.
Oh boy.
But I don't know. I guess, you know, she's caught up with, I don't know, work, kids, whatever, you know. But whenever we do have her on, she will absolutely rip my lack of mechanical ability.
I would love to hear that. Katie Rexroad is my favorite Rexroad.
Well, it's legendary in the family, actually.
I'm sure that it is.
But no one, but I don't see anybody else out there doing the worm.
I don't either. Don't see anybody. Matter of fact, we might need video evidence of this. While you're losing and washing her car, maybe the worm is involved in there.
I did not know you could do the worm.
Well, a few pounds ago. There's nothing I can do now.
So Mike Vrabel winning AP NFL Coach of the Year Award last night. He received 36 of 50 first place votes. Matt LaFleur got 8. Rick Bisaccia got 3. Zach Taylor with 2. And Bill Belichick with 1 vote last night. How about that? Old Belichick sneaking in there, getting 1 vote in the process, sending out congratulatory text messages as well after the 1 vote was received. I don't think a big surprise that Mike Vrabel wins the award. I was kind of surprised with how dominant it was. I mean, he blew the competition away. Wasn't even close in the NFL Coach of the Year award. Your reaction to Mike Vrabel winning NFL Coach of the Year and his margin of victory as well?
Well, I was a little surprised by the margin of victory. And, again, very important to remember, you know, especially for the Bengals fans who are screaming about Zach Taylor. This is about the regular season. I don't know. You tell me if this vote was taken this week or last week, would Zach Taylor have won?
Yes.
Probably would have. You know, got him the Super Bowl. Although Zach Taylor's – it's interesting because, you know, a few years ago when McVay got the Rams and Jared Goff to the Super Bowl – I think maybe it was probably a lot because it was also Belichick on the other side, but there was so much McVay talk, right? I mean, yep. You couldn't escape Sean McVay talk. And I don't feel like there's a whole bunch of Zach Taylor talk. But still, I think, yes, I think you're right. I think he'd win. Based on the regular season, yeah, I think Vrabel was the clear choice because it doesn't always have to be. If you go by how it often goes by who just overachieved the most. And if that's your guide, then Zach Taylor would have won. But this was a team with expectations. This was a team that broke a record for players used. Yes, Vrabel has talked about that often. The IR changes because of COVID are a big part of that number. The Titans put a lot of guys on IR because they can do it now, and you can have these short-term, these 3 weeks, you know, that they wouldn't have otherwise. So they wouldn't have had as many players. But still, 91 players. It's a ridiculous number. And the impressive thing about all that to me was just how many of them came in for a week or two or at least, you know, played like a key role in one game or two games and did well. That's no way that's easy to pull off as a coach.
Well, and not only just the amount of injuries that were sustained, but like when you lose Derrick Henry, that's a big deal. I mean, you're losing one of the best players in the league at that point. It's not the same as a quarterback. I understand that. I mean, you know, if the Packers lost Aaron Rodgers or if the Bengals lost Joe Burrow, to me, it's still probably a totally different story than the Titans losing Derrick Henry. So I understand all that. But losing Derrick Henry and being able to run the ball and being able to continue to win games coming down the stretch, even though there were some hiccups along the way, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Vrabel did a great job this year. And obviously, he was just rewarded with a contract extension. By the way, I saw the video yesterday. He was talking to Teresa Walker. He's like, yeah, I tried to tell you that a couple weeks ago rather than just coming out and saying it. But I just think he did a really good job. And look, I don't know how long Mike Vrabel is going to be the coach here because the expectations have changed. And, you know, there's going to be, you know, high expectations for this next team moving in. And at some point, the Titans are going to go through a down cycle here. So the NFL just kind of is what it is on that standpoint. Mike Vrabel, I think, is more than justified the move from Mike Mularkey to him. He's a pretty darn good football coach.
Yeah, he absolutely has. And overall, it's been a very good tenure. You know, you obviously, when you talk about comparing coaches to other coaches, playoff success is a huge part of that. I mean, it's, you know, it's still been good. So let's see. What is Vrabel now? His playoff record is what, 2-3? So
that is correct.
You know, it's the run 2 years ago was good. The last two playoff performances have been disappointing, no question. Losses at home, games that I think they should have won, but especially this year when you had a chance to make a run. So there's that will be. We're going to find out, and we're going to find out, like, can Vrabel be, because I think the reason I think Mike Tomlin's one of the best coaches in the NFL, I mean, he's got the Super Bowl win, so he's got that, but they've trended downward through a variety of factors in the last few years, and they've had some really bad luck. And there's a certain just standard of play there that he's been able to establish. Now, look, I think that's also the organization.
Yeah.
But you have to give him a ton of credit for that too. And them the credit for finding him, choosing him. He was no kind of – I mean, it wasn't like he was some hot coaching candidate. When he got hired, it was like a big surprise. And a little bit like when the response to Vrabel's hire, and I remember it was like a New York Post piece, just annihilate. I don't remember who wrote it, but just annihilating the hire, and looking at like Vrabel, like 1 year as DC, and they were like 30th in the league, and all this stuff. Like, how do you make this hire? Obviously, you know, John Robinson has been more than justified in the choice, and it does remind me a little bit of Tomlin in terms of, you know, kind of a you know, quick rise, a little bit out of nowhere, gets an opportunity. And I could see Vrabel having a similar kind of tenure here. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens when you gotta pay the piper on the cap and some of these teams down the road are not as good, because that's going to happen.
Well, and you brought this up before, and I think it's a really interesting thing to think about. A lot of guys that were as successful as Vrabel was during his playing days, and look, nobody's calling Mike Vrabel like the greatest linebacker of all time or anything like that, but he made some good money in his playing days, had a lot of success. It's rare to see those type guys then move on to a career in head coaching and want to sign up for that grind again and sign up for doing all those things and the time that you've got to put in. Vrabel, to me, seems like a guy that genuinely loves that stuff. Like, he loves being around football. He loves coaching. Every time you hear Mike Vrabel either mic'd up or in a post-game press conference or the speech that he had last night, he always talks about how much he loves coaching this team, loves coaching and playing in this league, and how much he loves it. So, you know, at some point, you know, you worry about maybe with a guy like that who's been around it for so long, does he just eventually have enough and want to go enjoy the nice quiet life of retirement? And I just don't get the vibe that Mike Vrabel is wired that way anytime soon.
No, it's you just aren't going to find too many pro athletes who have the success he had and the financial success he had who sign up for this. So I just love to like get Brady as your OC, or like Brady will laugh at anybody who asks him to coach. You know what I mean? But just like most people who have a certain level of success, there are way less stressful ways to stay involved in the game and, you know, still make good money. You know, I mean, Tony Romo makes a lot more than, well, what? Any coach in the league, right?
Yeah.
What's his number? What's his annual number?
It's in the 20s, I think, isn't it?
I mean, that's way more than any coach in this league makes. For way less stress, and you're still involved in the game. But Vrabel, I mean, he's got pigskin coming out of his pores. So
$17 million per year, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I don't know Vrabel's number. I don't think Amy Adams Strunk just gave him 17 per, like 3 year, 51. And you know, Vrabel, I don't know. I don't know if Vrabel could be. You know, a lot of these guys look into TV. A lot of them, you find out they're not very good at it. Like, for example, Bruce Arians, please never, ever go into announcing again. You're terrible.
Not good.
I don't know about Vrabel. I don't know. But regardless, no one signs up for what he's doing if you've had that level of success. But he did because, like, he lives and breathes this stuff. I think he's going to coach here somewhere till, you know, it's time to just take the golf cart out and, you know, go to the early bird special.
Heidi from Dixon texting in says, since the playoffs don't count for it, I think Mike was the clear choice. Our regular season was as perfect as it could be, basically, considering all the injuries and our part-time quarterback. So Heidi taking a shot at Tannehill again and Mike Vrabel's Coach of the Year award. Goodness.
Wow. Even Heidi's ripping Tannehill. I thought you were I thought Heidi was sort of a Tannehill defender.
I thought she was too. Not there though. Part-time quarterback. You know, to that point, he was one of the few players that played in every game this year. So he was full-time quarterback.
That is true. It's like Tannehill, Ben Jones, Simmons, Landry? Did Landry miss a game?
I don't think so.
Is that it? That might be it.
Yeah. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line. Got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take a look at the 2022 Pro Football Hall of Fame class as well that was announced last night. All that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Our final edition of the season of Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 9:30. We'll have those picks coming up for you. The Super Bowl, we'll do the spread, the over-under, and a few props along the way as well. So looking forward to that coming up at 9:30. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Doug from Nashville, who wants to weigh in. Doug, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Great show, guys. Really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
So looking at the three coaching situations in the playoff that the guys really fell down. So Andy Reid, you're up 21-3 or whatever it was against the Bengals in the first half at home, and you can't close it out, right? They can talk about Mahomes and how bad he played in the second half. That was an issue. I think with Vrabel, it really was depending on Derrick Henry, before he was, you couldn't showcase him if they didn't know he was ready to play at game situation, playoff situation, and he really wasn't. But I think the loyalty aspect hurt them in game planning. And then with the Bills, you take a look at McDermott in the 13 seconds without, you know, squibbing the kick and all that, and taking time off the clock. There were three really good coaches that you can kind of pinpoint where they should have won their playoff game and really didn't. And sometimes it's a matter of you have a poor game plan. The Bills stopped throwing the ball in the third quarter when the Chiefs were hurt and their defensive backfield picked it up and went crazy in the fourth. So these teams are really good teams talent-wise, but it takes one or two coaching failures to lose a playoff game, especially at home. I'd love to hear your thoughts about it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Doug. We appreciate it. To his point, with Andy Reid, with Sean McDermott with Mike Vrabel. Like, you can point to instances in all those games where they lost, where they didn't make the right decisions. Like, everybody's talking about, you know, the third and one or the fourth and one with Vrabel and some of the calls that went into that, the decision to go for two instead of kicking the extra point. Like, there are things you can point to there. Certainly, we talked about it in the Bills-Chiefs game, the decision to not squib it and, you know, 13 seconds. How in the world did Travis Kelce get that wide open coming down the stretch there? You know, Andy Reid going for two at the end of the half against Cincinnati. There are a lot of things you could point to. Honestly, Joe, like, I feel like some of those things happen every game. Like, it's hard to have a perfect game as a head coach. They just get highlighted way more come playoff time.
Yeah, I think it's a great call, and I think it's a great point. You know, I mean, these things are – I mean, this is where one decision – no, one play, you know, can make the difference. I would push back – the one point made there that I'd push back on is the Derrick Henry loyalty thing. I don't see it that way. I think Derrick Henry was their best option to run the football. Derrick Henry was healthy. He was in typical, perfect Derrick Henry shape. And I didn't think watching him run the ball – there were a couple times that maybe he was a little tentative making a cut maybe. But for the most part, I thought he had burst power, and the Bengals did a really good job against him. But, you know, his presence should help you. Where the Titans failed is, you know, they didn't capitalize enough on his presence. And I know Deontay Foreman had the big run and proved himself worthy of getting some work in that game, which he got. But I think that it was just a failure of the passing game, failure of Tannehill, failure of Todd Downing, not like that they were hamstrung because they were like, well, we're going to have to roll 22 out there. I don't think that's what that was.
Go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Andrew texting in says, I heard y'all talking about diversifying the offense and getting more big plays. Heck no, don't waste any time on new players and plays. According to Jared, we can just run it 40 times a game and go out in the first round every year. This is coming from Andrew on the text line. Taking a shot at Stillman. By the way, DJ Burnside, our man Dennis on Twitter, just coming up with an outstanding I don't know if meme is the right word or picture of J-Rob and Vrabel as to what they think may be going on in Jared Stillman's mind here. It's good stuff. I've just retweeted it at R. Stanley NHL on Twitter. It's good stuff.
Oh, my gosh. The Vrabel illustration, I mean, I love the like the freaked out eyes with both, but that doesn't look like J-Rob, does it? It looks like a very young person.
Well, the eyes are just really messing it up. They're freaky.
The eyes are just freaking you out a little bit. Yeah, that's
shout out to DJ Burnside.
He never fails with the graphics.
He doesn't.
That's awfully good. Well, if we're gonna rip Jared for a second here, the running the ball thing, I've heard that. But when I beat him as usual on Jared versus Joe this week, the Logan Woods side, they'd be fine. Yeah, Logan Woods, just as. Like, we're trying – like, one of the questions Caroline asked was, like, how many of the quarterbacks in the league could have, like, outperformed what Tannehill did? And, you know, a lot is – but my point was, well, I think Tannehill also, like, on a lot of days doesn't do that. Like, again, I love to do – I probably overdo it. The, okay, let's do this 10 times. If these teams played 10 times on neutral field, who wins? If Ryan Tannehill in the exact same situation has that game 10 times, how many times does he completely crap the bed, you know? I don't think it's like 8 or 9 out of 10. But point being, Jared was, you know, basically like, oh, Logan Woodside, you know, would have done. It's like, okay, let's take it easy on the – all of a sudden they'd be just fine with Logan Woodside.
Joe, the 2022 Pro Football Hall of Fame class revealed last night at the NFL Honors. Tony Boselli getting in the Hall of Fame. I don't think that's a huge surprise there. Obviously, you know, great tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars. First Jack to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Cliff Branch named to the Hall of Fame. Leroy Butler, longtime Green Bay Packer. Aaron Rodgers was very excited about that on the broadcast last night. Art McNally, Sam Mills, Richard Seymour, obviously of those great New England Patriots teams, finished his career with the Oakland Raiders. Dick Vermeil getting into the Hall of Fame last night as well, and then Bryant Young as well in the Hall of Fame. What did you think of the 2022 Pro Football Hall of Fame class last night?
Well, I mean – every name you mentioned, I'm like, yep. But I'd probably have way too big of a Hall of Fame, you know, if it was just me picking. So they all seem like good winners. They all seem like good inductees. Torrey Holt really surprises me, though. What am I missing on Torrey Holt? I'll tell you what I'm missing. I haven't crunched the numbers on Torrey Holt relative to his peers, but to me, Torrey Holt is a Hall of Fame player who should be in Canton based on just my recall of Torrey Holt.
Well, and I thought there might be a good chance that Devin Hester was a part of it last night too. I still think eventually Devin Hester probably gets in, but I thought there was a chance Hester was going to make. I mean, you're talking about, and I get it. There's the argument with Devin Hester of, all right, well, he was a great special teams player at wide receiver or using him on offense. Like, he didn't do much, so he wasn't really a huge part of that part of the game. But Devin Hester is probably, in my lifetime, he's definitely the greatest returner I've ever seen. He is one of the best special teams players I've ever seen. And I don't think you should just totally ignore one phase of the game in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with you. Special teams gets the short end of the stick, especially if you're the Green Bay Packers. Oh, sorry.
Ouch.
But Torrey Holt, no, I agree with you. I mean, Devin Hester, I don't have a problem with that. But, again, my Hall of Fame is probably – I'm probably too like everybody comes to the Hall of Fame. But Torrey Holt, 7-time Pro Bowler. He's number 10 in receiving yards. He had 6 straight years of 1,300 or more, which is a record. And, you know, you look at some of these, 117 for 1,696 and 12 touchdowns, you know, right in the absolute heyday of greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
82 for 1,635 one year, 19.9 a catch. I mean, and again, consistency. You go from 2000 all the way to 2007. He did not have lower than 1,188 yards in any of those years.
Played. Impressive.
I mean, to me, he's got to be in there at some point.
I got a texture that says, no, Henry was not cutting it in that game. Foreman was. It's absolutely bad coaching. You cannot say that it was passing when we are a run-first offense. They should have run the man who had 4 carries for over 10 yards. No one's fault but the coaching in that game.
Okay, so again, I just want to make sure I'm listening right. So, in other words, they should have just gone all in on Deontay Foreman.
Just tell Derrick Henry to have a seat.
Yeah. Look, Deontay Foreman broke – so your stats – and I understand the big run counts in your rushing total. It counts. But no. I disagree. Derrick Henry is a better player than Deontay Foreman by a pretty wide margin.
Yeah, and I would say so.
There are plenty of things to nitpick and have a problem with. You have to have offensive balance. And Derrick Henry – has given the Titans a chance to have tremendous offensive balance by being the best running back in the league, and then they have been able to capitalize off that. The fact that they didn't is not on him.
When we come back, it is time for our final edition of the season of Pigskin Pick'em, Super Bowl edition. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road, the final edition of Pigskin Pick'em of the season. We'll move into our weekend winner segment coming up next week. Joe Rex Road, lots at stake here today between you and I. Give us a quick standings update in the competition.
First meet of the week?
It might be,
right? So let's take this opportunity to praise myself for that. We had another bad week. Michelle was fine, 2-2, 2 points. None of us got our locks. You guys both had Rams as your lock, and they didn't win by enough. I had the over as the lock in Bengals Chiefs. You and I both went 1-3 with a single point. Michelle 2-2 with 2 points. So Michelle, 72-49, 10-10 on her locks, 82 points. I'm 58-64, 8-13 on locks, 66 points. You are 59-62, 6-15 on your locks, 65 points. I'm up a point, and this is it. This is deciding who washes Michelle's car.
Bittersweet. This is my favorite segment.
Yeah, but we're
about to move to one very similar.
We're going
to
switch to other sports, so we'll see. You know, we'll see how you do with other sports, Michelle.
I'm not worried, Joe.
Probably shouldn't be.
When Michelle has like a 750 winning percentage in weekend winners, that may be when we lose her. That may be when she says, "You know what? I'm going to Vegas. See you guys later."
At some point, like, we have to just send her to Vegas. Like, here, like, take like the stick with the little thing on it, like, jump on a train and go to Vegas.
Guys, you just give me the money and I will go to Vegas, okay?
Okay, yeah, sure.
We'll supply that part of it. All right, let's get rolling here today on Pigskin Pick'em. We'll start with the game and the spread itself. Rams and Bengals in Super Bowl 56. The Rams are favored by 4. Michelle, we begin with you. Rams by 4. Who's your pick in the Super Bowl?
Listen, Robbie, I have been on your train all week long, really ever since we saw the Bengals come into Nashville. I've been on the Joe Burrow train. I think this is going to be a lot closer game. I am taking the Bengals at +4, also going to take them on the money line. I think they're going to win outright, and Joe Burrow is going to have his first of many Super Bowls.
I like many. Many Super Bowls. Joe Rexroad, Rams -4. Who are you taking in this matchup?
I hate 4. But, you know, that's why Vegas is Vegas, because I can kind of envision, you know, a late field goal to win it for the Rams. But I'll go Rams. I'll say something like Rams 31, Bengals 26. Give me the Rams. I'll give the 4.
Give me Cincy. I'm going Cincy outright. Joe Burrow and company get it done. The final score is 28-24. The final score in this Super Bowl. So I will go with Cincy outright and +4. All right, over-under in this game, as Adam in Portland brought up on our phone line earlier, pretty interesting, 48.5 in this matchup. Joe, we begin with you. Over or under 48.5 in this game?
And I believe Adam said this is going to end up being under. You know, well, of course, he thinks the Rams are going to blow out the Bengals and hold them down so much that that it will be that. But you know what? I'll stick to what I just said. I said 31-26. That's 57. So I'm going to go with the over.
I'm going over as well, because I did just predict 28-24, and that is also over 48.5. So there's your math lesson of the day, brought to you by Robbie and Rex. Michelle Knezovic, over or under 48.5?
Well, here's the thing. I was going to go over, because I think this game is going to go into overtime. But I think if it's in regulation, I think it's going to be under. So I'm going to go with the safe bet of them not going into overtime. So give me the under, and also both of you guys picked over. So I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, you can pretty much book the under at this point.
probably good way to go.
All right. So now we move into the prop bet part of this competition. Which quarterback throws a touchdown pass first in the game? Not many touchdown passes. Who throws the first touchdown pass in this game? I'll start on this one. I'll go Stafford. I'm going Matthew Stafford, first touchdown pass in this game. I think Joe Burrow ultimately ends up with more, but I will go with Stafford for the first touchdown pass in this game. Michelle Knezovic, which quarterback throws a touchdown pass first in this game?
I'm going to go with Joe Burrow on this one. I think they're going to get the first score of the game, and it'll be Joe Burrow to T. Higgins.
Oh, even calling the receiver. I like it. Joe Rexroad. Which quarterback throws a touchdown first in this game, Joe Burrow or Matt Stafford?
Well, if you're going to give me the advantage of seeing what Michelle picks first, I'll just go with what she picks. So give me Joe Burrow. You and I are now head-to-head on 2 of the 3 so far. So,
I like the way you think, Joe.
I can figure things out over several months.
All right, more receiving yards in this game. Jamar Chase or Cooper Kupp? Jamar Chase or Cooper Kupp? Michelle, we begin with you. Who has more receiving yards in this matchup between Chase and Kupp?
See, for this one, was pretty easy for me. I'm going to take Cooper Kupp for this one. I think they're going to be all over Jamar Chase. I think we're going to see more action from T. Higgins in this game. So give me Cooper Kupp for more receiving yards.
Joe Rexroad, Jamar Chase or Cooper Kupp for more receiving yards in Super Bowl 56?
So I just said, hey, I get to see what Michelle does, and I'll do the same thing. And now I'm going to break that rule. I feel like at some point Jamar Chase is going to do to Jalen Ramsey what Mike Evans did late in that Rams-Bucks game. I think he's going to have a big one. And I also think that the Bengals are going to, just like everybody, focus very much on Cooper Kupp. So Give me Ja'Marr Chase on the strength of a 60-plus yarder to be the guy.
Give me Cooper Kupp and make it my lock. I'm locking down on Cooper Kupp.
I believe
he's going to end up with like 12 catches. So just because of that, he's going to end up with a lot of yards in this game. I think Chase is going to make some big plays, but give me Cooper Kupp with the volume of catches ending up with more yards. So I will lock down on Cooper Kupp. All right, the first half spread, which is different than the game spread. The spread in the first half is Rams minus three. Rams minus three. Joe Rexrode, we begin with you. Who do you have as the first half spread winner? Rams minus three.
So I'm going to go with the Bengals. I feel like, you know, it's kind of long, goes along with Burrow with the first TD pass. I feel like the Bengals are going to make some splash plays earlier in this game, and the Rams are going to take control over the course of the game. So give me the Bengals.
I say the Rams are winning at halftime by a touchdown. So I will go Rams minus three in this matchup. Marcel Knezovic, your first half spread, Rams minus three. Who are you going with?
Robbie, I'm also going Rams for this one. I think the Bengals are going to be down by about a touchdown, and then the lead is just going to get smaller and smaller, and the Bengals will end up winning. Kind of what happened with the Rams-Bucks, and then also what happened with the Bengals-Chiefs, and also make that my lock.
Guarantee! Oh.
Michelle locking down on the Rams minus three at half. I like it. All right. Will Snoop Dogg smoke on stage? Will Snoop Dogg in the halftime performance smoke on stage? Yes, which the odds on that is plus 100, by the way, or no, minus 150. I'll kick us off on this one. I say yes, Snoop Dogg is smoking on the stage. Give me the yes. I will go plus 100 odds on this. I think that's good odds. I say yes, that Snoop Dogg smokes on stage. Michelle Knezovic, yes or no, Snoop Dogg smoking on stage?
I'm going to give this a heck yes. I mean, marijuana is very much legal in California. On Pat McAfee yesterday, Wiz Khalifa whipped out his Khalifa Kush. It's all over the place down there. 100% Snoop Dogg is smoking on the stage at halftime.
No doubt for Michelle Knezovic in this competition. Joe Rexrode, will Snoop Dogg smoke on stage in his halftime performance? Yes or no?
You know, Katie and I went out there. God, how long ago was this? Before we were married, a long time ago. And I remember that California had, they were doing this crazy weird thing. No smoking in bars. It was absolutely shocking to imagine bars without smoking. But in LA, they were doing it. You cannot smoke inside, folks. Snoop Dogg is going to be too busy. He's kind of older now. He's got a whole halftime show to do. Give me no and make it my lock.
Wow.
Guaranteed.
Snoop Dogg doesn't follow the rules, Joe.
I know he doesn't. He's
Snoop.
He's not going to get kicked out of the stadium if he does. But I feel like they've got a very engaging show that won't give him time to smoke.
Well, the odds of somebody smoking on stage, I think, were minus 500. So they didn't necessarily identify who, but it's one of the performers smoking on stage. I believe the odds are minus 500. So they're expecting somebody to get it done.
What if just like, what if Mary J. just lit up a huge Marley J?
With Khalifa Kush, with Wiz Khalifa Kush.
Could be. This is a big moment in the competition, Joe. Either I'm going to lose by a lot, or you have just given up your lead.
I mean,
I guess lead's probably not the right word, but second place in this competition.
The only thing that we are the same on is over. So
yeah.
This is going to be definitive here.
It's going to be awesome.
Get your suds out, buddy.
Meanwhile, Michelle Knezovic just kicking back, feet up in the air, ready for somebody
to
watch
the vehicle.
I'm killing
it. Also, I did say that the Gatorade will be blue. Which color do you guys think it'll be?
Gonna be orange because the Bengals are gonna win.
No, but here's the thing: they're gonna have it be blue ahead of time because they think the Rams are gonna win because they're in their home stadium, and then the Bengals are gonna win, and it's still gonna be blue, and it's just gonna be so bittersweet for the Bengals.
Oh, I'm going orange.
I just want to make sure you drive your Jeep through like a huge mud pile before Robbie washes it next week. Okay.
Promise. Okay. Yeah, Michelle's going mudding this weekend.
Listen, we're gonna have to wait until the door gets fixed, so the washing might have to wait till the spring a little bit. But don't worry, I will not forget.
I like the idea of Robbie washing your car when it's 28 degrees outside. No,
supposed to be 70 today.
Yeah, but we're gonna get cold again, right?
I hope not.
Excellent, Raymond. Yeah, let's all hope not.
Raymond in Franklin texting in says, does Michelle know who Snoop Dogg is? This is coming from Raymond in Franklin. Michelle, has that crossed the generational divide from Joe Rexroad?
Yes.
You know who Snoop Dogg is.
I know who Snoop Dogg is. Of course I do. We love
Snoop.
I'm
just reading the text. Just reading the text.
It's a fair question.
It's a fair question.
When we come back, Flavor of Love? Oh, sorry.
Was
Flavor of Love?
Flavor of Love?
No, that was Flavor Flav from Public Enemy. Oh, man. You were doing so great. You knew who Snoop Dogg was. You had to go to Flavor Flav.
Big clock. Shout out to VH1.
Big clock.
Back in the day. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll give our final thoughts on the Super Bowl coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. In final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, everyone, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, very much looking forward to the halftime show coming up. I'm really worried about you. I am, because I feel like in your mind – you're really excited about this, even though you're trying to play it cool here on the program a little bit. I think you're really excited about this. And I don't know. I just, more times than not, these things let me down. I think you have a chance to walk in here on Monday morning, maybe very extremely disappointed in the halftime show.
No, believe me, I fully expect to be disappointed. I'm actually hoping to be pleasantly surprised. Like that song that we just came in with, if they play that song – okay, then, I mean, now we're talking. And they should. It totally makes sense to play that song. It's Kendrick Lamar and Dr. Dre. But I worry that they're just going to go with, like, hits and it just –
oh, yeah.
It's just too many – it's just too many people. So I would
be – you ever heard the phrase, too many cooks in the kitchen? That's kind of what this feels like with the halftime show.
Right. It's like going back to the old days when the Super Bowl – decided to just here, let's get like seven stars together and have some weird mashup, like it's Hee Haw or something, you know. So, Michelle, Hee Haw?
Absolutely no idea.
Okay. All right, we're gonna.
Joe's just staring at me, Robbie, through the glass, and I'm like, why is he looking at
Michelle,
me?
Hee Haw.
I mean, no I just way. Whenever I make a reference, Michelle's a good barometer. I know Robbie, old soul Robbie, knows the Hee Haw references. But, yeah, no, if it was Snoop Dre alone, I'd be super excited. Like, they couldn't – I don't think they could screw it up, you know. But you throw in Eminem, okay, fine, Eminem. Again, Kendrick Lamar should have his own. He should have his own, to me, one year. And Mary J. Blige, like, it's just – it's too much. So I have low expectations, but I'm super intrigued, and I'm very hopeful that they –
you're overwhelmed, Joe. It's okay. You're overwhelmed.
I have hope, and yet I also have, you know, it's like hope for the best, expect the worst. How about that?
Is Eminem walking out there in a Detroit Lions Matt Stafford jersey? Yes or no? I should have put that in there. I don't think there are odds on that, but that's a question I'm asking.
I mean, it just makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, it just makes sense. I mean, if it wasn't the Rams playing in this thing, then maybe he'd roll out in like a Barry Sanders or something. But because Matt Stafford's playing the game, you have to do that, don't you?
I really hope he walks out there in a Jared Goff Detroit Lions jersey. That would make it 1,000 times better if that was the case.
God, that would be amazing. That's a great idea.
Here is Eminem in a 16 Detroit Lions jersey. Jared Goff, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, God. One or the other. He's got to do one or the other.
I hope so. All right, so you're picking the Rams in this game. Michelle and I both going with the Bengals. I'm interested to see how this shakes out. If Joe Burrow gets this done and the Bengals win this game in his second year, really his first full season, with an offensive line that at times is non-existent, what does that tell you about Joe Burrow if they're able to get this done and he has a big game coming up on Sunday?
Well, it tells you that everybody who said like he's going to be a generational quarterback was right, and the Bengals were right for picking him number one, which was the obvious pick after the season he had in 2019 at LSU. But remember this, and I've seen a lot of Peyton Manning comparisons with Joe Burrow. It was not long ago at all. We were saying, how many rings is Patrick Mahomes going to put on those fingers? Oh, count them up. Well, I don't know. He's got one. Joe Burrow gets this one. That's what everybody's going to say. Oh, he is going to load up those hands with rings. Well, it doesn't always work out that way. So you're the same for both teams. You're the Rams. You're the Bengals. Yes, the Rams, like they better win this right now because who knows where things are going for them, right? But even with the Bengals, there's no guarantee he's getting back to this. I think he's got a good chance, but there's no guarantee. So you take advantage of the opportunity when it's in front of you. Just like, sorry to do this, but when you're the Tennessee Titans and you're the number one seed and you have two home games to win to get to the Super Bowl, you take advantage.
What has Odell Beckham Jr. done for himself, you think, in these last couple of months with the Rams? And I believe he's a free agent coming up. Do we think that OBJ has kind of revitalized himself here? Maybe whether it's with the Rams or somewhere else, because at some point the Rams are going to have to start saving money somewhere, and I don't know if it's going to be OBJ or not. Do we think that OBJ has totally kind of revitalized his career to the point where if he makes it to the free agent market, there's going to be a huge bidding war for him? What do we think he has done for himself here?
I don't know about that. I think that might be overstating it a little bit. I think he's helped himself a ton. Because when it was all going south in Cleveland, most people wanted to just point at him and say, it's all on him, man. I mean, he's just, you can't deal with that guy, can't work with that guy, all that stuff. Well, he's blown that up to a certain extent. But I think another criticism or concern with Odell is just his health status and his ability to stay healthy. And I think that's still a viable question at 29 years old. He's going to turn 30 next season, you know?
Yep.
And I think a lot of people will look at this and say, okay, fantastic pickup by the Rams, fantastic job by one of the game's top schemers to quickly get him in there and to utilize him and to maximize him. I think there's going to be a lot of credit McVay's way and Stafford's way on this. And maybe he's not going to get enough. I just don't know if it's going to be some huge bidding war. But compare how he looks now in the league to how he looked when he was done in Cleveland, and it's been a pretty good repair job.
It's interesting. I'm interested to see. I mean, we've talked a lot about Ja'Marr Chase and Cooper Kupp. I will say, to Michelle's point, pretty fascinating wide receiver matchup in terms of the number two options for these teams as well. There's going to be a lot of attention on Ja'Marr Chase, a lot of attention on Cooper Kupp. I wouldn't be surprised if T. Higgins and OBJ are the stories in this game, outside of the quarterbacks, obviously, when it comes to who wins and who loses.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You know, it's like that your secondary weapon who should be getting good matchups, you know, can they take advantage? And Beckham has. I mean, we know T. Higgins is terrific. But Beckham has done that, and he's looked explosive, you know? I mean, he really has looked like more like vintage Beckham than I think we've seen in a long time.
The trend of Colts fans crying that has been ongoing for the last couple of months continued last night, and it's right in front of my face now on Twitter, so I'm just seeing it. We haven't talked about this yet. Very quickly, and look, I think there's some beef here, so I'm not blaming Colts fans for this. Reggie Wayne not in the Hall of Fame. Surprised by that? Eventually, he's going to get there, right? Like, Reggie Wayne's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, but without looking at his career, like, I think Torrey Holt had a better career. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're necessarily wrong. But, I mean,
but I would agree with you.
He did end up with 14,000 yards and 82 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's not bad. Hey, can I get to Keith real quick? Since Keith
is such
an MVP on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Chariot Line. Okay. Mikal means who is like God. Matthew means gift of the Lord. Philip means lover of horses. Horses in the Bible were war horses. Horses pulled chariots, hence chariot line.
I love that.
I mean, we're going with?
I'm
going
to give it a big no, but I love the creativity.
Also, Eminem's going to wear a Barry Sanders jersey.
See, I think that makes sense. Wait, do you know this or are you just guessing?
Yeah, Eminem texted me.
Okay.
Oh, good.
You know, Eminem's daughter was an honor student at Michigan State, by the way. Just graduated not long ago.
Those Michigan Staters.
How about that, huh? I think it would be a totally blown opportunity to not wear one of those quarterback jerseys. I'm with Robbie. If you're right, though, Well, it'll be just the same old story, I guess, with Michelle, won't it be?
Really pulling for the Jared Goff jersey. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back on Monday morning at 6 a.m. to recap the Super Bowl. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Darren Donick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.